And tonight's speaker comes to us from the city of Tulare. Don't let that fool you. She's quite a character. I told her as we were getting ready, as some of the readings were being done, that this was one of the larger crowds we'd had, and it was no doubt because so many people loved her, and I'm sure that's true. Kimmy's quite a young lady. She's got quite a story, and I hope that you find yourself relating to what she's about to tell you. So please help me to welcome Kimmy.
Hey. Hi, I'm Kimmy. Actually, my name is Kim. I have a nickname, Kimmy, because there's a lot of women in AA named Kim, and people start calling me Kimmy. I was Kimmy when I was a little girl, but through many years, I was Kim, and you can call me Kim or Kimmy. It doesn't matter. Just don't call me anything else. I have a story to share with you regarding my experience of alcoholism, and it started when I was about 15. I started drinking when I was in high school. I was a sophomore. Met what I thought was the love of my life, who was the father of my children, and he is really, truly a very nice man. But unfortunately, during our marriage, my drinking escalated when I turned about 30. It was about 12 years into our marriage. We had three children. His mother was diagnosed with cancer, and at that time in our lives, we were not walking with the Lord, whom I call my Savior, Jesus Christ. And we were drifting apart, and we separated. And during that separation, I met up with a young boyfriend, became my boyfriend, and he and I drank real well together. And while we were partying one night, he got in a car accident. He totaled my good friend, my best friend, even to this day, my best friend Rhonda's car. He had taken off in it without permission and got in a car accident and hit about five cars. And so he ended up going to prison. And while he was in prison, I met my second husband, who I married, and we had a lot in common. We both liked to drink Bud Light. That was real important. And I was in mortgage, and he was a contractor. So we would come home after work and share our stories of our day, sit around, drink, and smoke many cigarettes. And basically, that was really our relationship. And we did that for about 7 years. About 7 years into that marriage, I ran into this old boyfriend. He's now out of prison, and I ran into him again. And my marriage was really shaky. And again, of course, drinking was very much part of it. I ended up getting back together with this boyfriend, getting a divorce. And while I was with this boyfriend, he introduced me to another substance, which really got crazy in my life. That lasted about 3 months, and within about 3 months, I was arrested. I was arrested for 5 counts residential burglary, and I was looking at 6 years in prison. Since I had never been in trouble before, because I didn't show that part. I was a Beaver Cleaver mom, cheerleader at Mount Whitney High School in 1977. Had a lot going for me. I was just a drinker, and now I'm doing other stuff. So my life was getting a little out of hand. It was getting really crazy. I was arrested, and I ended up doing a little bit of time out at Bob Riley's, and I was released with a monitor. I did a monitor for a year. So now this boyfriend's not in my life. I've gotten a job, and I shared with the people who hired me that I am on this monitor. I told them the truth. I said, you know, I've got a drinking problem. I'm trying to work on it. At the time, somebody in AA introduced me to AA, but I didn't follow through with it. I thought I could do it by myself. I can control this. It was basically because I was with this boyfriend. He, you know, showed me all this stuff that I was doing. I never saw that I was taking responsibility for what I was doing and where I was at in my life. So I did my time, did this monitor, working at this job, loved the job, and 3 years later, the boyfriend comes back in my life again. Before, I'd never let him back in my life, but it did, and really things got out of hand. Within 3 weeks of him being back in my life, I lost my job. I lost my apartment. He was with some other person, supposedly he was supposed to be with a friend. He was with another gal. and totaled my brand new vehicle. I just bought a new truck. Just all these things were just escalating, just going downhill. And I just couldn't understand why all these bad things are happening to me. I had it going on. I'm fun to be around. I'm smart. I'm good looking. All right, we'll save that one for later. But I had a lot of fear inside, and I can't explain where it was coming from, but a lot of it had to do with the drinking. You know, drinking just made me stupid. I really would get sideways. And when I drank, I did stupid stuff. And I'm sure you can all relate to that. So now I am in bigger trouble because I let this boyfriend in my life. Everything was going wrong. I had a restraining order against him. And I'm still drinking. And I meet up with this gal that I was partying with at another friend's house. And she was now my new drinking partner and party person, not partner as in girlfriend. She's my new drinking partner. Anyway, make a long story short, make that perfectly clear, because when I get to the longer into this other story, I want to make sure you all know. Anyway, this gal calls me. Her name is Tammy, and she calls me one day, and it was a Monday, September 20th, 2004. She calls me up and asks me if I can come pick her up. Her car's broke down and she needs a ride. And I share with her, now that I'm living at my mother's house because I've lost my apartment, I don't have a job, and my vehicle's totaled. I'm at my mom's house, and my daughter had called me the night before and asked me to come to her house in Tulare to pick up her wedding dress. She was getting married the following month, on October 16th. She asked me to come get her wedding dress, remove it from the bedroom because her soon-to-be husband was coming home and she didn't want him to see the wedding dress. So this gal Tammy calls me and asks me to give her a ride, and I tell her I can't do it. I've got all these things I got to do. Got to go take care of this, got to take care of that. And I said, I don't even have a vehicle. In fact, I'm using my mother's car, and I've got to take her to Exeter. And she said, well, I'm in Exeter. How convenient. So, you know, my thinking, she can drive while I can drink, and I can go do all these errands. This is how sick I was. I'm going to let her drive, and I can drink and take care of everything. So I do. I go pick her up, and while she's doing whatever she's doing, I probably drank a good 18-pack within about an hour. If you people know me, my friends know me, I'm very hyper. I'm learning to slow down. Well, I'm trying to anyway. But that day I wasn't very slow. I was drinking a lot. And on our way to Tulare to go get this wedding dress for my daughter, this gal Tammy asked me if we could stop at the Bank of America. She wanted to cash a check. And I said, sure, why not? Right over here. I'll show you how to get there. So I'm showing all the directions. You know, I've got my beer in the red cup, like nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm drinking my beer. And we go up to the drive-thru, and the drive-thru was closed. It's 110 degrees out, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and this gal says, well, you know, why don't you just come on in and wait with me inside the bank? So we locked everything up, left my purse, everything in the car, left my beer, and went inside. While I was waiting in there, she was trying to cash his check, and the teller tells her to go wait so they can verify the funds. So I'm sitting there reading the newspaper, thinking, you know, I'm looking for a job, and I'm just hammered. I don't even know how I made it that day, you know. Just buzzing, and I'm sitting there, and she comes over and asks me if she could go out to the car and use my cell phone. She needed to call her mother because she was running late. She had a child she had to tend to. And I said, sure, you've got the keys. Go out to the car. Do what you got to do. I'm just going to sit here and wait for them to verify the funds. But she leaves, and I'm sitting in this bank, and two policemen come up to me and ask me if I'm cashing a check. And I said, well, yeah, my friend's here. We're cashing this check. Well, I was arrested, and while I was in the jail at Tulare County in Tulare, the officer kept asking me, you know, you don't look like somebody who would do something like this. And this is, now I think about it. Back then I wasn't thinking about it. But what does somebody look like? What does somebody look like? You know, I was drunk. I was at the right place at the right time. I know that sounds backwards. People say I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I was right where I needed to be. It was really weird that drive-thru was closed. It definitely was a God shot. I was not meant to just ride through there. It's time for me to stop. That was the day I was stopped, September 20th. So I go to court the next day, and I'm standing there in front of the judge thinking, okay, can I get OR'd? You know, I've got a drinking problem. I'll do whatever. You know, just let me go. And he looked at me and says, are you kidding me? You've got two silent strikes, and you're looking at 25 to life. Well, my legs buckled, and I look back at my mother, and I'm thinking, how could this have gotten so bad? How can this have gotten so far out of hand? Little Kimmy Ross, Beaver Cleaver mom, cheerleader, here I am looking at 25 to life. And believe me, it could happen to you. And I never thought this could happen to me, but it did. So I fight my case, and I'm in jail at Bob Wiley's for, I didn't mean to take that personal. I was just looking distantly. Oh, I want to make that perfectly clear. I was just looking now. Yeah. And so anyway, I was fighting for my life, 25 to life. And while I was at Bob Wiley, a lot of things started changing in my life. I started feeling different. You know, I always knew who God was, but I never really spoke to him, never walked with him, never talked with him. And I truly believed that he was carrying me. And he was showing me and opening my eyes to what was going on. I ended up getting my joint suspension when I got in trouble with the boyfriend 5 years, almost 5 years prior to that. I didn't get 6 years. My new lawyer went to the old judge, and he changed it to 4 years. So I ended up getting 2 years. So I ended up spending some time at Valley State Prison for Women in Chowchilla. And that's not something I'm very proud of. I can share with you that I was on the choir while I was there, and it was on TV, and I share this because, you know, it's really sad that my mom can't even say, hey, my daughter's on TV tonight. She's on 22. You know. Anyway, yeah. So, although all these things happened, I did miss my daughter's wedding. I missed the birth of my first grandson, who is four now. I missed my youngest daughter's graduation. And I get real emotional about it because I swore I would never be like my father. My father was like that. He was a fun guy. Everybody loved my dad, my uncle, the Credit Ross brothers. Great people. I have that too. But when I drink, I'm not that great. And that's something I have to admit and accept. I'm just a bad drinker. So I did my time. And that changed my life. I got involved in AA while I was in prison. I got involved with the counselors. I helped with the women who were being released, sharing what they were going to do and telling them my story and letting them know that, you know, you can come back. It's possible. And it's possible that it could happen to me. My friend asked me when I came home, she said, why do you go to AA? You know you're never going to drink again. You're a two strike, high risk. You get in trouble. You know you're going away for life. You know, that's true. I am going to go away for life. But I'm going to keep going to AA because they support me. And they're here for me. And it gives me some balance in my life. There's a lot of hope in AA. I truly believe that AA is part of my life. And I think it's just wonderful. And I'm so glad I'm here to share my story. And hopefully somebody here wouldn't have to go through what I had to. My life should have stopped a long time ago. But I was very selfish. I just kept on going, thinking, oh, I can do this. I can do this. You know, I couldn't do it. And then this is carried over even after I'm sober. So now I've got my sobriety date, September 21st, 2004. Now where am I at? I come out of prison, May 1st, 2006, and I go to an AA meeting, and that was the best thing I ever did. I went to an AA meeting, and that's where I got the nickname Kimmy, because there's like five Kims in that woman's AA group. And so that's where I came from. But I continue going to AA even after everything that I've gone through because of the fellowship. I have a lot of good friends. My sponsor, Catherine, here, who I talk to daily. I think I've missed twice in over 3 years not talking to her, and it was out of my control. Although I did go to prison and I missed out on a lot of those things because of where I went and how low I got, my relationships have changed with my children. My daughter, the one I said to have my four-year-old grandson, on June 4th, she's having another baby, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the living room. My youngest daughter, Caitlin, who never wrote me a letter while I was in prison because she was so ashamed of what I've done. We are very close now. And I have a relationship with her, and I talk to her almost every other day. And we do a lot of things together. And my son, Ross, swore when I went to prison he would stop using drugs, and he did. You should see him. He's so handsome. So a lot of things have changed in my life, and it's not just because I came out of prison and stopped doing what I was doing. It's because there was a lot of growth, a lot of changes. And I try to give example to my children. I know at one time I was a good mother. I just got really screwed up for about 8-10 years. And the drinking, it started with the drinking. And if it wasn't for the drinking, I wouldn't have gotten where I was. So I choose today not to drink. I don't ever want to go backwards. I want to go forwards. That's all I have to say. Do you have any questions? I can tell you that was about 2 months before I was arrested. I was sitting on the porch with a friend of mine and her husband, and we've been drinking and having a great time partying, and I stood up and said, I think I'm done. I've had way too much to drink for somebody to give me a ride home. I'm sitting at my house. Okay. Can somebody give me a ride home? And they're just looking at me. Okay. I think you've had enough. And I thought, man, that was really way out there. So those kind of things give me an idea, you know. But I really knew about 2 months prior to my last arrest, things were just really falling, and I didn't feel good about me. I didn't even like me. I was desperate. And it was a really awful feeling. I remember my sister-in-law saying, all your drama and all your chaos that goes on in your life, you bring it on yourself by your drinking. And I said, my drinking has nothing to do with it. It's this and this and this. And I had excuse for everything. I was excuse queen. And I still have excuses sober, but I'm learning to see that. You know, like, wow. No. I take no responsibility for myself today. That's a good question. Many people would ask me about this gal, Tammy. Say, you know, don't you just want to hurt her? Don't you wish the worst for her? And all I can say is I pray for her. I did. I ran into her about 3 months ago. I was doing a demonstration at a pet store. And she walked in, and I looked at her, and I said, hey, Tammy. She goes, do I know you? You have to remember, I'm 30 pounds heavier. My hair is about 8 inches longer, and I'm older. I accept that today, too. And I ran into her, and I gave her a hug, and she said, don't you just want to hurt me? And I'm looking at her, no, because you know the truth is, if it wasn't with Tammy that day, I would have been with somebody else. It's not Tammy's fault. You know, she took me somewhere where I shouldn't have been, and she knew that I had been in trouble before. Shame on her. But she was just as sick as I was. We were in our addiction, and I can't blame her. And I just pray for her. And she did ask me. She said, hey, maybe we can get together. And I said, no. I have boundaries today. I wish her well. Anything else? Thank you. That's my new friend. No, I mean, she really is my new friend. I just met her. I just met her a couple of days ago, and that's another thing I want to share about AA. You know, the circle of friends, who we see, who we meet. You know, I worked with your mother, and your mother was wonderful to me, and she just kept giving me chances, and I just kept screwing it up. You know, and I would wing it doing this. I would work for a mortgage company. I worked for this woman 3 times. Never once did she fire me. I always let myself go. When it got too tough or I couldn't handle, I walked away. And your mother's a very wonderful woman. She's a strong woman, and I look up to her. Who would have guessed I'd see you and have that relationship? and know that. Another person, I'm sitting at a woman's meeting. I'm sitting there talking about, they were talking about jobs. Sit next to her and I said, well, where do you work? And she tells me, and I said, well, my daughter works there. Well, I'm her boss. You know, it's like, wow, small world. You know, I would never have known that. You know, I've been here in Visalia for over 50 years. Know a lot of people. And I know a lot of people know my best side and they know my worst side. And that's acceptable today, too, because where I went through and what I did, it's pretty ugly. It's pretty dark. And I didn't want to remember it. This gentleman over here asked me, he said, are you nervous tonight to tell your story? I'm not nervous. I don't want to remember it. But I have to so I can share it and give it back. I don't want anybody to experience what I went through. It was hell. Alrighty then. No more questions?
Well, I don't like.
No more takers? Okay. Well, thank you, Kim.